before we do anything, we are most definitely going to open in prayer. Our Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who died for us that we might have eternal life. Lord, we know our enemy wants to bring people to eternal death. And Lord, this information today is what will bring them from eternal death to eternal life. Lord, we need to know these things so that when we meet people, we recognize them for what they are and whom they serve. We pray your protection over us this day against interruptions, against problems. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to open with a comment. And if you know this verse, forget that you know this verse, because I'm doing something different with it. It was in a devotional called The Watchman Held Accountable, a quote from Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, the same wicked one shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. This was Ezekiel's commission to go preach God's message to Judah, which was about to be judged. He was compared to a watchman up on a city wall, looking out for enemies coming across the desert sand. And he was to blow a trumpet or make a sound if he saw the enemy coming. He was to warn them. But if he refused to warn them, they would die and he would be held responsible. On the other hand, when we come to verse 19 of Ezekiel 3, God said, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. What God is saying is, if you know the truth, and you don't tell the truth to other people who are lost, you are responsible. Their blood is on your hands. On the other hand, you are not responsible for what they do with it. Now, to me, that's a blessing. Because all I'm supposed to do is give the message. Just like somebody walks in and says to Cynthia today, Fred walked in and said, Cynthia, you have a phone call. It wasn't his job to get the telephone number, to do anything. He was just asked to tell her. And if she had told him he was crazy, well, that's not his fault. That was her response, wasn't it? That's all God asks of us. And this is true of people who are involved in Satanism and witchcraft. To let them know that there is a true King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of the universe who has everything planned out at the end, and that their leader and master is doomed. Now, if you can't get any more of the message across than that, you have delivered a message, and you have cleansed your hands of their guilt. If you keep your mouth shut because you're afraid, their guilt is on your hands. Now, I can't make it any clearer or any firmer than that, because it's so true. Now, as far as looking at confronting the occult, in your notes I quoted Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. Okay?
Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or observer of time, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or wizard, or in the compass. For all these things are abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God do drive them out from before thee. Deuteronomy 18:10-12.
Okay. Now, notice God says, there shall not be found among you. Well, if it's not found, it doesn't exist. These things were not to exist among the Jews. He brought them out of Egypt. They were supposed to leave all those things behind. And that sets down the principle. Yvonne will be reading some other scriptures that at the beginning that I want to lay down the principle, make it very clear to you what God says about being involved in the occult. Then we'll be looking more at what is involved in the occult itself. All forms of the occult are forbidden by God. Leviticus 19:26-28. Now, if you have a talking Bible or something, you can look these up just like that. Interest in the occult is not a recent development. Many of these beliefs stem from ancient Egypt and all the way back there. Witchcraft was widely practiced in the Old Testament times. Micah 3:6-7, Ezekiel 21:21. It was found in the early church. The early church was directly attacked by witchcraft. Acts 8:9-11. Okay.
Acts 8:9-11. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Acts 8:9-11.
Okay, Acts 13:8.
Acts 13:8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Acts 13:8.
And then I have Acts, but we're coming to that another section. Acts 19:19.
Acts 19:19.
I know, I'm coming back.
19. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Acts 19:19.
Now, you think $50,000 in silver today, I don't even know how much that would be worth. But that was the value of the books that were burned by believers who had been involved in witchcraft and had now turned to Jesus Christ. Now, the only comment that I think of at this point is, I remember Del Wade at one point sang this song a lot, and people called in and requested it. And the title of it, The Devil's in the Phone Booth Dialing 911. Not for a long time, but I never forgot that. The Devil's dialing 911. That's what we want him to do.
Yes.
He's not going to get any help. Okay, 1 Timothy 4:1. Paul warns Timothy that there would be an increase in curiosity about witchcraft. A lot of people get involved in these things because they're curious. But they don't just want the information. They want to know what it feels like. And then they're gone. Supernatural manifestations are the work of demons. Satan can perform lying forms and wonders. In Exodus, occult involvement may lead to demon possession. Acts 13, 8 through 10. Okay, read them both.
Okay, Exodus 7, 9 to 12. When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then the Pharaoh also called the wise men and sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did like manner with their enchantments. Exodus 9, one more. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. That was Exodus 7, 9. I did read that earlier. You want me to read
it? No. You didn't want to read it again.
I think it's Acts 16, 16. And it came to pass, as it went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Acts 16:16.
And you remember what she cried out to them was, these men are servants of the Most High God. Yes, they were servants of the Most High God, but that wasn't God's way of delivering the message. That was not God's way. And that led Paul to a lot of trouble, as you recall, in the city there. Those in the occult sell their souls to the devil. And that is true, but it's they can be reclaimed. I want to say that. They can be reclaimed. It's difficult, and unless you really know what you're doing, you should not try to become involved in it. But there are people who know and have dealt with it. The demons work in the area of deception. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. Thessalonians? Yeah, okay. Next one is 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 11, I think. I didn't put the rest of the number on there. 7 through 10 or what? I don't know.
All right. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Even him who's coming is after working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. 2 Thessalonians 2:9.
Okay, good. Now, this next point, that fortune tellers and witchcraft can do much, but their power is limited. Yvonne read this first reference in Exodus, where all the rods of the Egyptians were cast down, and then Aaron cast his rod down. It became a snake that ate all the others. And then God challenged people. See, God knows his power is stronger. But sometimes people need to see it, unfortunately. So God challenged the people to see if the power of the astrologers was stronger than that of God. Isaiah 47, 12 to 14.
47, 12 to 14, I have that. I'm sorry. Isaiah 47:12-14. Stand now with thine enchantment, and with the multitude of the sorcerers, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou, shalt there be able to profit? If so be thou, mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of the counselors. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up, and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, there shall be a stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm them, nor fire to sit before it. Okay. Isaiah 47:12-14.
Now this was by way of introduction. I think you got the point about what God thinks about them, right? Yeah, you got the picture. So we won't be referring to that again. But in the Old Testament, they were stoned if they were involved in the occult or in witchcraft. That was the reason Saul was finally rejected from being king, because he went to a seance and dug up the prophet Elijah. In 2 Kings, we read that those involved in the witchcraft have no peace. Not Elijah, Samuel. I knew I was wrong after I said it. Try sitting up here and doing this. This is not with this topic. It is not easy. I feel very pressured. I feel very pressured because Satan, like I said, doesn't want this message to go forth. They were told they would not be. They could not escape judgment, and their souls would be rejected by God. They would be refused entrance into the kingdom of God. When we get to Revelation chapter 22, we find that. The occult is very serious. It is compared to rebellion against God. And it is a bad influence on others. Christians must separate themselves from black magic. And this next part is very important. Destroy all evidence of involvement. In other words, if you go to Haiti, don't buy a voodoo doll. It's a neat artifact, but it's part of witchcraft. You don't want it in your house. And those who do not repent will be tormented in judgment. Now, I am going to skip the section on the role of Satan. I had these notes printed, partly at my expense, partly at the NCCB expense, that you might take them home and really look over them and look at these scriptures. Because the role of Satan is very important. But now we're going to go into the things, the different roles of things, what different forms of the occult in themselves. First is there a problem? Because I'm hearing talking. I'm sorry. Okay. The first thing is Satanism. This is worshiping Satan directly, using blasphemy, profanity, and sexual perversion. They have a black mass. And it sounds really gross. The priestess is nude and all have sexual relations with her in hope of birthing the Antichrist. What a copy. It takes place on a full moon in an old churchyard or a secluded place where the sounds will not be heard. After the full moon, it is a proven fact that when the police force goes into these areas where they know that these things have happened, that do happen, they will find dead black cats, dead goats, dead animals. And so this is a direct worship of Satan. Next we come to like the witchcraft, which actually is performing magic. And this is done, it's forbidden by God. And joining this demands denying all parts of the Christian life. they're rebaptized in the name of the devil. And they request that their name be put in the book of death. And they have tattoos. And then they have white magic, which is beneficial and curative, but make no mistake, it's still witchcraft. It will harm somebody. It won't harm you, but it's done for your good ends, but not the person to whom it occurs. Idol worship. Now you say, well, we don't worship idols. But people do have idols. Well, even little statues that they put there. And I don't mean like in, necessarily mean like in Catholicism. There are people who put these little dolls up there. And whenever they, it's almost like a form of voodoo, but when they do something to these little dolls, something happens to somebody that they put their magic spells on. So they do worship idols. And all of these things, once they are in your family, are in there for 3 or 4 generations unless the curse is broken. Again, if you don't know how to break the curse, don't try to do it. Go to somebody who knows. But it can be broken. Okay, the next, I put this in, and I do not mean to offend any of the gentlemen, if any of you happen to belong to the Masons. Many Masons maybe don't realize this. You know what the Masons are, the secret society, and they go for revelations and visions to control an organization shaped like a pyramid with 33 degrees. Most of the people in Masonry are down at the bottom, like levels 1 through 10. The 33rd degree is at the very, very point of the pyramid. There aren't many people who get to that. I had a great-grandfather that was the 33rd degree Mason.
1871, he wrote a letter to an Italian revolution, writing, there will be 2 world wars, and probably a third, to pit Christianity and Judaism against atheism, whatever, outside of that, and that both would be destroyed. Then Night of Lucifer would be opened with closed, and they were planning all this.
Mm-hmm.
Wars are planned.
Yes.
These 4 wars already planned.
That's true. And I would have, you know, I'd like to bring some of those other things out, but there's so much to cover in the amount of time we have, but I'm glad you shared that. You say, well, the Masons use a Bible. Okay, if we were in a Hindu society, they'd be using the Vedas. They use whatever holy book exists in that society. It doesn't matter. Because that is just to give it the look of legitimacy. They don't believe what's in that Bible. And then when you're initiated into witchcraft, I didn't talk about that because it's like Masonry. They don't know anything they're getting into. They go through these secret ceremonies. And in the past, Masons have never told, and you never could find out. Now, if you look carefully in bookstores, you will find the rites of the 33 rites of the Scottish Masons and so on, and you can find it. And it is, I've read part of it. It's horrible to read. They go through these ceremonies. They meet Osiris. who was an Egyptian god. Somebody dressed up like Osiris. They meet Baal. They meet Bacchus, the god of wine. Now, here's one that's really, really kind of blows your mind. They have secret signs and passwords. And what can actually happen is a man could have killed someone. He can go into court. He can make this secret sign just in case the judge is also a Mason. And he will not be given the death penalty. The judge will overturn the decision of the jury if it was a death penalty. Yeah. It is. And something that seems as so harmless as just belonging to the Masons. They get their wisdom, their strength, and their beauty from Hinduism. And some of their leaders have titles that are ascribed to God, like the most worshipful master. And that certainly reminds you of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? And then we come to black magic, where they wear amulets or objects in which they put charms, they write charms on them, or they recite charms over them, and they bring good luck and good fortune. Now, we all know of one. We do? A rabbit's foot. Yeah, a horseshoe. Now, you stop and think about it now. Then they have fetishes and talismans and charms, and they ward off the evil spirits. And it is true that Christians are a target and may die prematurely or be depressed. Notice I put there, may. How do you avoid it? Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Put on the whole armor of God. And be sure you know what that armor includes completely. And this is not just when you know that you're going to meet somebody like this. Put it on. That's right. Fortune telling. It can be fake. Yeah. But how do you know? Now, this includes Ouija boards. Mirror mantic. I explain some of these later. Crystal balls, rock crystals. Those are those pretty little crystals. Yeah, those pretty little crystals that you sit around your house. Horoscopes and palm reading. I see a word I misspelled there, but that's you can tell what it is. Palm reading. Then you have interpreters. Those crystals I talked about sitting around the house, they look into them to tell the future. They use handwriting analysis. They use dreams. And they use patterns of flying birds. Now, I realize a lot of these things some of us don't see, but you can be aware that it goes on, which is really my burden for doing something like this, that you be aware of what's going on in your world that you can't see.
What do you mean by the pattern of flying birds?
Birds. The pattern that the birds use when they fly in the air.
Oh, and they mean something to them.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's numbers here.
Oh, yeah. That comes up later. That's something else.
Sorry, I have to jump in.
Oh, I know. That's perfectly all right. I don't mind questions. That doesn't bother me. They're not interruptions. Spiritism. The practice of calling spirits from the dead for a purpose of communication. And if they already know something about you, they can fake it. but don't count on it. Evil spirits can pose as spirits of the dead. And they know. And this is done at a seance. Now, yeah. Now, you don't want to go to a seance. You might be curious. No, not there. If you're curious about witchcraft, read it. Don't go. What they actually, what these spirits that come and talk to people are actually homeless, unclean spirits who lived in the person who died and who are looking for somebody else to inhabit. I mean, if you look at how intense all this is, and I think you can realize, you know, what I was saying at the beginning about being aware of it and knowing it and recognizing it. Inherited family weaknesses and inclinations may open the door for a demon to enter. If depression runs in your family, a demon can enter through that. Now, and wait, don't take me wrong. Did I say that every depressed person was... I did not say that. I said, can. It is possible. I'm not one of those people who sees a demon behind every door. I know people who are like that. No, I'm not. In Luke 16, there's a great gap between the abode of the righteous and the unrighteous. This was before Christ. And there's no way across. When that rich man wanted cold water, he couldn't get it from Lazarus or anybody. The dead man could not speak to warn his family from coming to hell. There is no legitimate communication. Okay, cartomancy is a fancy term for the use of tarot cards. They're not a joke. I once got a set of tarot cards in the mail. At the time, I was teaching cults at a Bible Institute. I did not throw them away. I took them into class. I showed them. I had classmates. When we went to class, they'd bring their tarot cards and ask if anybody wanted their future read on the tarot cards, right in class. And most professors said nothing to ban them because of religious freedom. Palmistry is using the shapes and the marking of the hands. If you hold your hand out and then run your other hand over it, you feel lines in your palm. And they use that to tell the future. Pyromancy, the use of fire formations. Mirror mantic, use of crystals, mirrors, still water, or tea leaves. You know that nice little lady that came around in the restaurant and read your tea leaves? Innocent? No. Geomancy is a map in 12 pieces or divisions. They not cut up, but in one, you know, 12 divisions in an area of a map, and then they put symbols in conjunction with the planets, and there's a way they can tell the future. Erythromancy, this is what you were talking about, division by numbers with numbers having mystical significance, especially to letters and names, too. Now, there's this place where, I want to say this, because... there are speakers and books, Christian books, that make a lot of the meaning of numbers and things. Don't go overboard. Don't go overboard. Because you might be, I don't know how quickly you could stray into this field. I'm not, this particular part, I'm not very familiar with this. Areomancy. Weather conditions or water ripples. Now, you get the point that if you want to, if Satan wants to talk to people, he uses anything that belongs on this earth. Because he is the God of this world. Anything at all. But we don't have to be afraid. Because we have the armor of God if we use it. Ouija boards. Those things are truly dangerous. They're not a toy. Reincarnation. Rebirth of the soul into another body. And you say, well, and I wondered about this. How do you know all these things that are true if you never experienced it? Well, the main thing is they found out that if you had some demonic involvement with the witchcraft somewhere in the past in your family line, and those evil spirits know that, they know those lives, they can bring it back to you by things that happen to you that just pops in your head. I remember that. It could have been 300 years ago. I remember that. It can come back in a dream. Yes. Yes, it is. Good point. That's a term I didn't use here. Generational curses are curses that exist. They're passed on from one generation to another. They may skip one, but they pick up somewhere. There's a book, I don't know if it's still, you can still get it. It's called The Beautiful Side of Evil, written by Joanna Nicholson. Yeah, Bob would know about it. They probably had it.
It will be with any of the libraries that have Martha Arnie books have that book.
I want to read that one.
And The Beautiful Side of Evil. Her grandmother can literally pull cancer out of people in the middle of a filthy hut in the jungle. And they're cured. It wasn't fake. Then we have astrology. Now, Bob, when I started talking to this last year, Bob says, well, that's a big thing around here. I said, okay, so I had just had the note here. I included it so you know it's part of being involved in the occult. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it, that at the end. New Age. These things are not new. They are old. They are simply put in new forms for, I say, quote, more sophisticated people. We consider ourselves, most people today consider themselves so smart and so open-minded that they can look at these things. So the New Age is, you know, a lot of things. One of the things they say that all become one, including God, and you can be a God. And the Ten Commandments become the Ten Suggestions. And moral law is made by man, not God. Now, the next one, a lot of people argue about this, but it's proven. Martial arts is rooted in the occult. I Ching is the source of Kung Fu. With the belief that salvation is found in nature. Karate makes the mind passive to allow for self-hypnosis. And what happens then? A demon enters and gives you great strength. Bruce Lee movies exhibit this process. The different colors of the belts have significance. I never have either. Now, does that mean that every place you study martial arts was founded by demons? No, it doesn't.
No.
No, it doesn't mean that. But
in fact,
it.
I was taught martial arts by a Baptist Christian.
Okay, but it was rooted in that. So when you're doing it, you need to be careful what you're doing. Santeria is a religion of West Africa and Caribbean origin with Roman Catholicism and native Indian religions mixed in. Now, you can just imagine some of that stuff. I got some statistics. In 2001, there were 22,000 plus members. They're Santeros and Santeras. Many are practicing Catholics. And in 1974, they established the first Santeria church. Religious freedom. There are issues with animal sacrifices and a few instances of death in their ceremonies.
Is that church by any chance based in New Orleans?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
You know about it?
Yep.
Well,
can we hear that question again, please?
I just asked if the church that she mentioned, this Andrea church, was based in New Orleans. Because when we went down for a convention, as you know, we have a Christian exhibit at AFB convention. We had a guide dog. We had curses put on that dog and everything else. We had to have prayer for the dog. It's strange.
It is.
I don't want to get into a big thing with it, but
It's enough.
Real is what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah. See, what people are saying to me, yeah, this is true. I know about this. I've been there. And here they are now. So that's hope. Okay, now we're going to talk directly about Louisiana voodoo. I thought that was a lot better than talking about Haitian voodoo because we don't really run into too much of that. It's a cultural form of Afro-American religion. And it is partially separate, but it does use the gri-gri, and it came from Africa. And point D there talks about one of the potions that they make. I wouldn't suggest you try it. It sounds really gruesome. But the thing I want to mention is that they use prayers that we use in our conventional Christianity. They use the Hail Mary, they use the Lord's Prayer, they make the sign of the cross, and they insist on baptism. As a matter of fact, this voodoo queen, Marie Laveau, in the 1830s, urged her followers to become devoted Catholics, and people go today, people go to her tomb to pray and leave gifts of pound cake for Saint Expedite, who represents those standing between life and death. And I read something that the Catholic Church is thinking of making her a saint. Well, you know, somebody's going to probably pick it up and say, hey, this doesn't make sense. They have no religious books. Everything is based on oral traditions. They do communicate with their spirits through these different ways. And the superstitions you can read for yourself. That, now we're coming to astrology. One of the two areas that I cover in a little more detail. The bodies in heaven, I use celestial. I thought afterwards that was... I wasn't trying to impress anybody, but I just wrote it. Where the position of the stars affects the personality, national affairs, and human affairs. And don't kid yourself. astrology is a big business with a lot of influence on the government. Now, the sun, the moon, and the planets are analyzed by their location in relation to each other. Interesting, one year for my class, I got a hold of an astrology page from the newspaper, and I made a chart because I wanted to see if it. And I actually, when I made this chart, I had some planet in different direction, in a different one planet in two different locations. But I'm sure nobody else ever looked at that, you know. But the planet was in two locations. Okay. I didn't tell my students that, but they picked it up. They said, wait a minute, that's there and that's there. How can it be both places? I said, oh, very interesting. You noticed that. It used to be connected to astronomy, but in the 17th century, it was realized that they were not the same things. Uranus is really not usually included because astrology was pretty well set up by that time, so Uranus was not included. And you have the core principles there. Strange things, the time of birth, the sounds of energy and angles, mathematical formulas, and there's Carl Jung is mentioned there. And this is interesting. Wikipedia, 31% of Americans believe in astrology, and 33% consider it scientific. That's one third. And then I mentioned about Chaucer and Shakespeare, and they explain the opposition of red and scarlet in Gone with the Wind to different astrological signs that were opposed to each other. And of course the Harry Potter books. Now here's the interesting one. The Jews and the Muslims reject it. Now would you, and yet so-called Protestants and Catholics, there's a whole bunch of them that won't go anywhere without looking at their astrology report for the day. Kepler College, you can get a bachelor's degree in astrological studies. Okay, and then there's some verses there what the Bible says about it and God's purposes for the stars. The stars were signs from God. They were given as a sign to Abraham. The stars, his seed was going to be as the stars in the heavens. Now, do you know, the Greeks saw this and they started counting the stars. They got 331 stars. Without a telescope, they got 331 stars. Okay, now, I'm going a little faster here because I want to give you some time for questions. I really do. Okay, Wicca. Now, let me tell you what is deceiving about Wicca, and I'm going to go out away from my notes. I have a home shopper who comes and does my grocery shopping once a month. When my mother died, she brought me a lovely Mass card because my mother was Catholic. And I thanked her very much. And I said, did you get this from your church? I said, these are really nice. And it was all about the resurrection. It wasn't about Mary or anything. It was straight. And I said, it's beautiful. And I love the message. And she said, well, I get it from a friend of mine. I don't go to the Catholic Church. I belong to Wicca. So there are, and Bob told me that a lot of people around here belong to Wicca. And he may want to share some of those comments when I'm finished. I'm saving time. It is a new pagan religion. It has no connection whatsoever to Christianity. Reveres the earth and its goddesses and consorts of the horned god. Now, who's the horned god? Satan. And the Wiccan rule, if it harm none, do what you will. Sounds like our time, doesn't it? They believe in reincarnation and power. There is this law of attraction. Now, this law of attraction is common sense. And it happens. What you do to other living species, you bring back on yourself. We know that's true. It's taught in the Bible. But they call it the law of attraction. They, for their ceremonies, they stand in the center of a five-pointed star. And once they stand in there, they are a deity. And I gave you a little bit of the history. I thought it was interesting that there was a witchcraft act of 1733 in England. And once that witchcraft act was repealed, the people were free to practice Wicca in England. It spread to the United States and was made popular in Charmed, a television show. Anybody remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Yes. There's still reruns of it.
Yeah. Three lovely young ladies. There are 80,000 members of Wicca in the United States, England, and Canada. In the Air Force, this is the largest non-Christian religion. Doctrines. These I will not skip over these. Deity is transcendent, meaning it's near, but it's not intimate. We all have a spirit, and we're all a part of nature. All human beings display divinity. Images of gods and goddesses are aspects of greater deities. So technically, they will say they don't worship those images. Worship is determined by the phases of the moon. Each worship site is a new one. They never go back to one again. Pantheistic beliefs. Now, I'll explain that word. All is God and God is all. In other words, everything is God. They believe in many gods. Magic is a manipulative force. They have magical elements. Air, spirit, water, earth, and fire. Now those are magical elements. But they use the power of earth. Then they have ritual practices. They have a magic circle, and inside that magic circle, they have prayers and spells aided by tools, which are located on an altar. And I listed these tools. There are two kinds of knives. First is the Ashne, which is a straight knife. A wand, a five-point circle, a chalice, a broomstick, a cauldron, candles, incense, and then this curved knife. No. Okay. You all thought Halloween was just a fun time for kids, right?
No.
Mm-hmm. The practices and experiences are more important than the beliefs. Some groups practice sexual intercourse. Notice I said some. I am fair, because when my home shopper said she was Wiccan, I said, tell me something about it. So some of these things that are in here, I got directly from somebody who was in it. And this is what she said. She said, my group does not practice sexual intercourse but I know of a group that does. Now, they have a Wheel of the Year, which is their holiday. Now, some of these you're going to notice, they're real familiar. October 31st.
Halloween.
December 21st and 22nd, Yuletide. They used to call Christmas Yuletide. And think of that Christmas carol. See the blazing Yule before us. I don't know if there's any connection there or not. Candlemas, February 1st and 2nd. What? Oh, yeah, okay. The blessing of... Oh, Candlemas is the blessing of your throat in the Roman Catholic Church, Yvonne said. Ostara is March 21st and 22nd. And then they practice May Day on May 1st. We have Lissa, June 21st and 22nd. That is usually when summer comes, and it's a solstice. Lammas, August 1st and 2nd. I didn't ask about that. Modron is September 21st and 22nd. Then they have an initiation ritual at three stages. And Carol told me about this. The first stage is after 1 year and 1 day of study. You're initiated into the first degree. She said, I can't tell you what the initiation is. I said, I'm not asking you to do that. I said, I just want to know the process of membership. Second, to know all the tools and their use, and then they receive a Wiccan name. And then third, able to start their own group and know how to perform rituals. And where do they get that? Well, I gave you that. The Book of Shadows. Now, that talks about the darkness, doesn't it? Now, I have, I've given you a lot of facts. I know if they're in it. You realize there's danger of even going close to this without spiritual preparation. Some is fraudulent. I agree. It makes us easy prey if we're not really prepared. They have a newspaper called The Banner of Light. Mm-hmm. Demons do have personality and intelligence because they do have it because they were spirits in some body that died. Evil spirits must have permission to enter a person or thing. You have to give them a chance. You've got to give them. And you don't have to give them very much of a chance either. The effects and the marvels have an intelligent designer. Satan is not as intelligent a designer as God, but he's got his kingdom well arranged. If you are involved in spiritism, witchcraft, totally you must deny that Jesus Christ is God and reject the word of God. And since he is not, if God is not the Lord, then man was not made by a God, but man is the God. Now, the last point is definitely, I can't stress enough, discernment. Discernment as to what is happening. The Holy Spirit will show you If the Holy Spirit nudges you and there's an uneasiness to do something or to be involved, what should you do? Get away. Because the Holy Spirit, now I want to close with this, and I want to show you just what the Holy Spirit can do. I had a lady in my cults class at the Bible Institute in Philadelphia. Now, everybody told me, this lady is mentally retarded. She's mentally challenged. It took her 4 years to finish first year. She got to second year, and they said, she'll never pass your classes. I had a reputation. I had a reputation, okay? But she came to my class. She came to my cults class, and I kept saying here, you know, you can't know everything. We don't have time for this, even with, we had 30-some hours. But I said, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to give you discernment. Well, she came into class 1 week, and she said, can I share something with the class? I said, yeah. I said, I will give you 5 minutes. Because she could talk for 30. She said, okay. So she said that there was this lady who came around to all the doors in like 3-block area and invited them to a banquet at a church. And the banquet was free. And she said on the night of the banquet, there was only one person home in 3 blocks, her. And they all her neighbors said, you're not going, it's a free dinner, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going. The Holy Spirit told me not to go. They were laughing at her. She had people from 3 blocks at her door the next day. It was a New Age group with crystals and Ouija boards and all kinds of things. And they said, how did you know? She said, I asked the Holy Spirit if I should go. And he said no. Needless to say, ladies and gentlemen, I gave that lady an A for my class. I gave her an A because she got the whole point. And she ended up teaching a Bible class. Mentally challenged. She couldn't put homework on paper that was discernible at all. But she knew it. And God used her. So not because I know that there's mentally challenged people in this room, but maybe I've overwhelmed you with some of the things I've said. You say, well, goodness, what can I do? Look at all this stuff going on around me, and it's just little me, and I don't know what's going on. I don't see these things. Ask the Holy Spirit for discernment. He will do it. Even if you can't see it, you can feel it. And I want you to be able to live wonderful Christian lives, free from Satan's harassments in this area. And that was really, that I can't believe I did that. But I was just going to say that at this point, I don't know, someone's going to have, if 4 hands go up at the same time, I'm not going to know which one got up first. So, you know, maybe Yvonne can. No, but the questions will not get on the tape if you do not record.
I just want to know. I believe I heard you say that demons cannot enter you without your permission. What about activity around you?
If you have a door partway open, Let me put it this way. Let me illustrate it this way. If you have a mouse in your living room and there's a cat in the hallway, how is the cat going to get to the mouse if your door is closed? Yes.
Mary, I just want to answer this for you. First of all, we as Christians, we have something in us that says, he that is within us is greater than he that's in the world. If when we pray and we ask Jesus to keep us covered with his precious blood, Satan backs up because he can't stand the name of Jesus. So even if you don't say it with your lips and your mind, because Satan can't read your mind. Only God knows your thoughts before you think them. So when you say the blood of Jesus is against you, Satan, nothing can harm you.
Come on and preach it, girl.
Okay, let me say something. While we're asking questions, if you did not get the notes for today, would you please put your hand up and keep it there until Yvonne puts it in your hands? No talking, just...
Martha, what do you know about, or maybe you and I can talk about this later, but the Illuminati?
That is the, that's the astrology and the groups of people that use some of these means to be able to control the world.
They're in high government.
Yes, they are. Freemasons.
Okay.
Freemasons, too. Okay. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. Almost all of our founding leaders were Masons.
Okay. Thank you, Martha.
Right. Anybody now? Anybody else? Okay. I see a hand, but I don't know who it is. And
where is it? Steve on the phone?
I'm
here,
Gary Wood.
Gary's in the far corner of the
Hello. There's a lot of interest in, you know, about space. Certain people wanting to know communicate with other planets and UFOs and things. I was wondering someone had said that we shouldn't be involved with that because they don't want anything good about any of it, and it's no good.
I agree with you, Gary. Whoever said that, we don't know. We really don't have any idea what is involved with these UFOs and stuff. We don't know if it's phony. I mean, if I knew that somebody went in the woods and picked mushrooms and handed me one to eat, and I say, well, what do you know about mushrooms? I don't know. It just looks good to eat. It could be poisonous. Are you going to eat it?
No.
And this is the rule. This stuff can all has very serious consequences. Don't take any chances.
May I say something?
You certainly may.
There's a book called Alien Intrusion, and it's a Christian book. And I forget who the author is, and it is on audio CD. It talks about, basically, it takes, and I agree with the author, that all these alien phenomenon and stuff is demonic in origin. And he cites, I say he for the author, and like I say, I can't think of him for anything. But he cites examples where people were in their sleep starting to have these abduction sequences, and they would cry out to Jesus, and immediately they'd snap back and come back to their, you know, being their home and their bed. So I'd highly recommend that book. It's called Alien Intrusion, and it is a Christian book. Make sure you're getting the one that I'm talking about. The ARC Foundation has it. I know that. That's where I ordered mine.
Usually, a lot of books like that you can get through Amazon, And you can go by the title, and you're okay. There were a couple books that I found. Exposing Witchcraft in the Church. I got that one. It was very helpful. Witchcraft in the Pews. How Witchcraft Spirits Attack. Exposing the Accuser of the Brethren was a good book on Satan. It's also on discernment. All those books together cost me about $35. So they weren't expensive. You looking for somebody? Okay. And so they were, you know, and I got them through Amazon. And they're great. You can deal with them. Now, did everybody get today's stuff?
Since you mentioned about your housekeeper being in, as a Wiccan, have you had an attempt to witness to her and to change her mind?
I have witnessed to her.
Okay.
And she has listened to me. And she respects me. And that's all I can ask for. Yeah.
This isn't particularly a question, but when it come up with Easter, which was Ishtar, it goes back to Babylonian customs. You read about it in Jeremiah 7th chapter, where it said they would bake cakes to the sun, or bake them and then offer to the sun. Then in Ezekiel, the 8th chapter, about Tammuz. Well, now, he was a son of Semiramis. I don't know if it was by Nimrod or some other. And anyway, he was killed by a wild boar. He was a great hunter. And so, question, and this was Southwest Radio Ministries where I heard it. They said, why do you eat ham every Easter Sunday? Because they say they were eating the same wild boar that killed Tammuz. And then Semiramis, when she died, the belief was she ascended to heaven. Then she dropped down from heaven as an Easter egg and hatched. And then she laid hatched Easter eggs, which hatched Easter bunnies. That's yeah. And so Ishtar. Well, then you take December 25th. That was the Roman god Sol Invictus, Mithra. Well, I believe that Jesus was born in the fall, whether anybody else does. I don't believe in December. That was Catholics that put that in later. And when you think about it, and I've heard where it gets pretty cold in Israel in December, and therefore Mary and Joseph, they wouldn't allow anybody to travel, that is the government, because it was rainy, windy, and cold. And usually in December, it starts the rainy season. So I believe he was in the fall when the weather was better. And so, and I know people say, Happy Resurrection. There are people that are saying that instead of Happy Easter, Happy Resurrection Sunday. So,
okay.
I believe I heard you say that if you know someone who's having an issue as far as being possessed, I don't need to go, but somebody who knows what they're doing more or less needs to go.
Yes.
How would they find someone and know that that person is genuine?
You can go to a pastor. And now I'm not saying every pastor knows how to deal with it. but they know pastors who do.
Martha, I just wanted to say what you're saying is true. Having been in a church where there was a pastor who knew how to deal with witchcraft is not something that you play with. When someone is dealing with witchcraft and you're around, you yourself have to be prayed up. Because if you're not prayed up and your life is not the way that you think it should be as far as asking the Lord to forgive you for your sins, that devil has to go somewhere. And that devil will get into you if you're sitting around and you don't, you know, you're not prayed up. Witchcraft is not something to play with. I worked with a lady one time on the job. I walked in to sit in my seat at a hospital. And she said, "Don't sit in your seat." I said, "Why not?" She said, "There's a spirit in your seat." I sat down in the said the blood of Jesus and began to do my work on the switchboard. She believed in witchcraft. She got mad because we never looked up to see if the phones were being lifted up. She got mad because there were certain days when she dressed in all white and we knew that she was going to go see the sorcerer, even though she had Ankh-Vaakh, who was a wooden statue that sat on her computer from Africa somewhere, and she read the New Testament every day. So you have to watch when you're around people, because there is a spirit of divination. It's real.
It is real. I really have to. I can't stress that too much. Yeah, I
asked a prayer for a friend of mine. Her name is Caitlin. She's 15 years old. She is watching these shows that are like for ghost hunters and that, you know, like haunted houses. And she has her mother allowed her to buy a Ouija board. As a matter of fact, she bought it for her Christmas. So my husband said, ask the spirit in the Ouija board if Jesus Christ is Lord. It went totally dead. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't answer. And so I said, see, that tells you. It's a demon, it's the devil, and she won't believe me. But her name is Caitlin, and she's 15 years old.
Oh, man.
Please, everybody, you've heard this today, please remember this young lady. Because her Bob knows. You know, and they've you know, she's seen this. Now, what is her response going to be? Doris did her part. What is her response? Her blood is not on you. Hey, Mom, can you get me some water? I'm really... Evelyn's got to take doggy out. Yes, I would invest... What you mean, would you look at it? Would you look at it seriously?
Yes.
Repeat your question.
Martha, would you look into this lady who... was laid out on the altar in a odd manner, murdered on the altar. She was a pastor of that church.
Definitely.
And the news people are not telling anything more about it.
Where did it happen?
Do y'all remember Janice or Cordelia? I think it was Anadarko, Oklahoma.
How about that? Now, if you want to see a satanic activity and how it works behind the background, behind the scenes, these books I know are available through the National Library Service. So I'm not going, the next author, just going to give you an author, Frank Peretti.
Yes.
That, it shows in Piercing the Darkness.
Yeah.
And... The Oath. Yes, it is. The Oath is a really strange book. It's a very strange book. But it deals with the occult and blood oaths and... Ugh! But you know what? When you read that, you can begin to see what kind of power Satan and demons have, all behind the scenes. All these things are good. You can't see my gestures if you're blind, but those of you that can see. On the surface, this church is falling apart. This pastor's being accused of raping this girl he's supposed to be counseling. the newspaper man's family is falling apart. The local college is being invaded by the New Age. And down here are the demons and the angels. And I'm going to tell you what Frank Peretti says, and I firmly believe this is true. How did the it turn out in on God's side? Prayer, consolidated prayer by Christians that frees the angels to work. And that's what it takes. It takes prayer. It takes putting on the armor. No other way. I mean, the facts are there. I tried to make them as concise as possible. It wasn't meant to be an encyclopedia article. I almost thought it was going to be. But I just gave you some basic facts so you know maybe what to look for and stuff like that. But you know what? Discernment. Any other questions? Because I know the choir people are going to start coming in. I guess no more questions. Well, I'm going to, but I want to make sure.
Okay.
I don't want to cut off a question.
Okay.
And then I just want to remind you that I have Braille stuff from the last 2 years here, and I have printed stuff from 2 years ago. Bob and Carolyn do not want to take it home. So afterwards, if you let Yvonne know, I will direct her to get the right thing to the right person. Okay, Yvonne? One person at a time so we get the right things to them. Okay?
Martha?
Yes.
Dealing with the occult and wizards and, you know, so forth and so on, that they really, I mean, I don't even order them because I just don't want that stuff in my house.
Yeah.
But when you see, it seems like it's getting more and more of them.
Yeah, you're right, Barbara.
Up.
It is. Because what happens is, you see this thing, series, The Wizards of Titan. I just made that up. Book one. And you'll see Wizards of Titan, book 14. Whenever you see those terms in there, wizards, witches, those sorts of things, forget it. It's fiction. But you don't need it. Cynthia.
Okay, what would be a good way for us to kind of build each other up? Because sometimes you feel like you're the only one that feels this way, and, you know, it's kind of hard because you can't really share.
Okay. If you can find somebody... And I'd say you have unlimited long distance, correct?
Not right
now. No. Okay. Calling and talking to somebody, even if they're a few hundred miles away, just sharing with them is helpful. Sharing it with them. Having a prayer partner that will pray with you when you feel that way, that you're not alone, is really the best thing, Cynthia. It, to know that. But in barring the fact that you do not have that, go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and read your armor again and claim it piece by piece. If that's all you have, if that's all you can do, and if you can find somebody, you know, like in this room that you know, that you knew was interested and concerned enough, and you have unlimited long distance, give them a call.
What about
email? Yeah. It's okay. It's better than nothing. There's no... Yeah. If you have Skype, that's good. Skype or Uvu. It's another program like Skype. You, only you see the pictures. You can actually, the person, you can actually see the person, and they can see you. Okay? That's the best thing, is contact with another Christian so you're not isolated. Yes?
One quick comment on Ephesians 6. When you look at that armor, it is effective from the front only. If you turn your back, you have no protection. Period. It was originally designed for Roman soldiers, and they were basically told, on pain of death, don't turn your back. So that's the good part of it. It's to protect you.
Okay. But by protecting yourself, Satan has to leave. Yes. Mary. I recognize the voice now. See, I hear voices a few times, and then I do recognize them. Even people I don't know, but I heard her name and the tone of her voice. So that's
not to take away from what he said, but God said he'd be our rear guard. He's got our back.
Well, he watches over us.
Right.
But
I guess when he said, don't turn your back, because I understand that part about the Roman soldiers and the armor being covered.
Don't just run away and pretend it doesn't exist.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Every time I think I've made it, but I don't want to cut it off if you want to ask it. Yes. Question. Wait a minute.
My daughter went to a psychic, and then when we had family dinner a few hours later, she really gave me the dickens. She just argued and fussed and brought up her childhood and brought up real mean things. And I'm thinking the psychic may have given her that those words, those thoughts.
That's right.
And she had just been to the psychic that same day.
Well, but you raised her correctly, right?
Yes, I sure did.
Well, then you've done your job. And I think the Lord gives us that assurance so that we don't need to feel guilty. I know you don't. Let's pray for Pauline's daughter, too.
Lisa.
Yeah, Caitlin and Lisa.
And my other daughter, Shireen. She said she wished Jenna told her so she could go.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
This is sad.
Yeah. I wasn't wrong in following the Holy Spirit's leading. Can I ask you a question? I usually think about my seminar for the following summer. I'd like to know, are you interested in knowing something about the Church of Scientology?
Yes.
And how about the Living Church of God, which was the worldwide Church of God? Okay.
Unitarian,
those three. Okay, no problem. That's what the Lord's been showing me, and I wanted to just see what you thought about it.
You know what? One of these things I want to really look into is your Holy Witness book.
Well,
I mean, what, you know, on my own, it's with your help, Martha.
I suggest what you do is get to, Bob can probably tell us, Christian, they had books on dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses, and I don't know where those particular books went, but you might try Care Ministry. They have a lot of things.
Okay.
Any other place you might try, Bob?
Cape Ministry Northwest. Eventually, Tim Snyder's ministry will have all of our books, including several on Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism. We've got Dr. Walter Martin on anything you want to know about.
Oh, you do it?
And Lutheran Library for the Blind, when it reopens in Texas, in Florida rather, has some books too. And that's really the best way, because Jehovah's Witnesses are well covered.
This talk about books and all that, the most important book needs to be read, and that's the Bible.
Amen.
If you don't read the Bible first, you might as well forget about reading anything else.
Amen.
The Bible has the answers, and that's the only book to read and go by.
Amen.
So that is in the Ephesians chapter 6 and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about doing. It doesn't talk about putting on. It says put on. That means doing. What it says to do. If you're not doing, you ain't getting anywhere. So all these other books don't mean anything unless you put them on, read the Bible. That's the important thing.
Thank you. And that is exactly why I started the whole presentation with what God says about the occult. Because I wasn't presenting this to you. If you came here because you were curious, probably didn't learn a whole lot, because I didn't present much about everything, you know, just a few little bits. But what I did present very definitely was that there's a problem in being involved with it. And you're absolutely right, brother. It's the Word of God. It's the armor of God. It's the Son of God. It's not the books from Amazon or the other. They're fine. You've read the other. You want to read what other Christian writers have said? Great. But read the Word of God. Okay? I'm surprised. We got really... I want to thank you for your attention. I probably sounded a little pressured at the beginning. And did feel pressured. But it didn't stay that way. I loosened up a little bit. I felt freer. And I'm really glad you asked the questions you did. It doesn't bother, those things do not bother me. I would like, Bob, can I ask you to close in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we come to you again, trusting that you have all the answers to the questions we've asked and the questions we haven't asked. And you look down on this world, and what you see in some of these people makes you angry. You also want us to be aware of what's going on, so we will not be tricked. Satan is rather clever. He looks good on the outside. And that's why we fall for it, because we want what we want when we want it, and we think that's the way to get it. It isn't. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that we will be discerning, wise readers, devourers, understanders of your word. And when we don't know, we go back and read it again. And as someone once said, if we understand true Christianity thoroughly, then anything else will seem wrong. Guess what? It is. So thank you, Martha, for your time. And Lord, we just pray for all of us to be alert, knowing that you will give us what we can deal with and help us to deal with the things we can't deal with. And again, thank you for this time this afternoon. And all in the room said, Amen. Amen.